The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Hi, folks. John Fredericks here. If you're like me, you may be among the millions of Americans who feel uncertainty when it comes to their health care. We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people that work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you get to choose your doctor and your hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access your health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is the way health care should be, and it's been great for me and my family. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control of your health care cost. As a member since January 2015, Liberty HealthShare has been a godsend for our family. Together, we're changing health care for good.
Did you know that according to the federal government, having as little as $20,000 in revolving monthly bills meets the definition of excessive debt? And the latest numbers indicate as many as 4 out of 5 Americans fall into this category. Hi, I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial. And if these numbers are accurate, then 80% of the people listening to my voice right now should listen very carefully. With a massive rise of equity in homes across the country, now totaling $5.7 trillion, your home can be used to pay down that debt or eliminate PMI, which may save you hundreds of dollars every single month. Let us help you wipe out that excessive debt with just a phone call. We guarantee we'll meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or we'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions apply. Our phone number is 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. And our website is cornerstonefirst.com.
NMLS ID 183265, consumeraccess.org.
So we've met President Trump.
You're on the John Truthers Radio Network. I am your Godzilla of the truth. Great to have you with us. Trucking the truth every single day, commander of common sense, right here at your service. We're deep behind enemy lines today in Fairfax, Blue Fairfax County. There's about 7 Republicans. They had a convention here in a Volkswagen about a week ago. That's about the number of Republicans here. We're at Ben Tribbett World Headquarters. You can follow Ben on Twitter at not Larry Sabato. Ben called me the other day. He called me yesterday and said, "I want you to come and do your show." From my office. Ben is an FOJ, friend of John. He's a really, really smart guy, and he teaches me a lot. And it's only by getting Ben on the air do you really get a full understanding of what is going on with the Democrats, because he doesn't pull any punches. He's not employed by them. He's not on their payroll. He tells it like it is, and sometimes he's at odds with them. But you get tremendous insight. Follow him at not Larry Sabato. Plus, he's a really, really smart guy. But he's a shameless lib, but that's all right because you get insight from him. And you know, we're in a battle here in 2020 that is going to really define where this country's heading. So it's good to be behind you, behind enemy lines. It's a lot better than being at the Saudi embassy or consulate, where you end up chopped up and your body parts are put in a vat of acid. Hey. Can you imagine Mohammed bin Salman saying, "We didn't really plan this. I didn't know anything about it." And 15 guys go to the consulate in Istanbul. And like, I was always thinking, like, what did they do to get this asset? Did they go to like the Istanbul Walmart and say, "Oh, I want a barrel of that acid. No, give me two. And I see you have a special on chainsaws. Can those cut through the bone? Okay, give me 3 of those." I mean, you got to be kidding me. We're with Chaz. He is at VA Political Memes. He's got a sad little Twitter handle with only 687 followers. It's really sad. So follow him, even though it's kind of dumb and it doesn't make any sense, and he says stupid things on it. Show him a little love, at VA Political Memes. Chaz is his real name. And we're also with Kyle, the tech guy, who got my radio network up and on. Like, thanks, Kyle, for that. John Frederick's Radio Network phone line's open. You want to ask Ben a question, he'll give you an answer. 888 might not be the one you want, but he will give you one. 888-480-JOHN, 888-480-5646. Ben, let's get to Virginia politics, may we?
Let's do it.
Because we have an election in 2019, and what I've said is that the Republican Party of Virginia doesn't exist. There is no party, and it's an apocalypse. And the last hope, the last final hope that Virginia Republicans have to stave off permanent annihilation is Kirk Cox, because as long as Kirk Cox is the Republican speaker, even though he won by a coin flip, you know, he can still go to New York, he can go to Northern Virginia, he can go to Washington, D.C., he can raise money. As soon as he's out and goes into the minority, the Republican Party of Virginia will no longer exist. By the way, the Republican Party of Virginia right now, they do have three employees, and they have they just got a new battery pack for their answering machine. So the answering machine does work if you can. I think they have a phone number. It's not I don't even know what the phone number is, but they do have an answering machine. They have a brand new battery pack, and they just pulled out the beepers from the Senator Obenchain campaign in 1978. So they have beepers, so they're good to go. Ben, let's talk about the Virginia political scene and what's going to happen in 2019.
Well, I mean, you talked about control of the General Assembly, and right now, you know, with David Toscano quitting, the Democrats are having a contest for leader with five different candidates from delegates so far. Only five, you know, I've announced, but I think that, you know, there could still be more. And, you know, I don't know if we want to talk about them, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I should also mention, John, you know, we had invited a few people to be on the air today. I reached out to Delegate Alfonso Lopez yesterday, asked him to come join just the show. He said he couldn't. He's meeting with his boss at 8 a.m. That usually means that an ICE raid is probably on the way soon thereafter. So, you know, if you're here illegally in the state, I'd watch out today if Alfonso's meeting with his boss at 8 a.m. because, you know, very well could be some increased actions going on. So the five candidates for leader are Eileen Fillercorn from Fairfax, Marcus Simon from Fairfax, Charnel Herring from Alexandria, Rip Sullivan from Fairfax, and Sam Rasul from Roanoke. And, you know, it's a pretty underwhelming group. You know, it's hard to make David Toscano look good, but this might be a crowd that actually makes people sort of say, oh, we might miss him a little
bit. Okay, but let's go over the names because that's kind of unfair. I mean, Toscano the Paisano, I thought he did a good job. I thought he was a good leader for the minority, and I know a lot of people criticized him for not giving money to some of the House of Delegates candidates that won. But I thought with the resources he had, I thought the Paisano did a pretty good job. Why does everybody hate on him?
I don't think he did a good job at all. I mean,
why?
You look at the three cycles he was leader of. In 2013, the Democrats, I think Terry McAuliffe carried 49 seats. Toscano only won 34 delegate elections that year. So that was a complete unmitigated disaster in 2013. 2015, they made virtually no progress at all, swapping a couple seats out here and there, even while you had a Democratic governor and quite a number of marginal winnable seats. And then in 2017, the Democrats picked up 15 seats. But remember, the House caucus only targeted six of them. They didn't participate in helping most of the Democrats who actually got elected. And in all the seats that ended up being the most competitive, they didn't make any investments at all. Like the Fredericksburg seat that was decided by, 82 votes?
Right.
The Democrats didn't even target that race. So the leadership has really been inept the last three cycles. And I think that was the reason why, you know, there was a lot of pressure for David Toscano to get out before 2019.
All right, so let's just go over these candidates, and then we'll get back to the national scene. So Alfonso Lopez, House of Delegates member, Northern Virginia, but he's had some issues, right?
Alfonso's not one of the five candidates.
Oh, you invited him, but he's not one of the five candidates.
He was making calls the first day it was open, and no one else wanted to support him. So instead, they're putting up his roommate, Marcus Simon. His Richmond roommate.
Okay, so Marcus Simon, let's start with Eileen Fillercorn. She was going to run for lieutenant governor. She didn't. She's going to run for this. She didn't. She's going to run for that. Eileen's one of those people. She's always mentioned. She loves being mentioning, but never pulls the trigger. So I just don't. And everything she does, Eileen Fillercorn, I like her, but everything she does is very safe, Ben. It's like the bill she submits, like nobody could ever get mad at, you know, it's like, you know, save the children, bring them food and water type bills. She never goes out on a limb for anything. I really can't see that type of person being the Dem leader.
I mean, it's really...
Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, look, you talk to her colleagues and they'll tell you that, you know, you just, with Eileen, you can't get a straight answer on things. What she tells you is always the safe political answer. And what her colleagues will tell you is that it's her doing that has so incredibly damaged her relationship with them because they don't feel like they have human interactions with her.
Right.
And, you know, there's a small following that she has in the caucus. It's
right.
possible she could win the election because there's a lot of freshmen that are up in the air where because of her small following, if, you know, as we get to runoff rounds, they break towards her, she could win. But, I mean, Eileen is not the future of the party. And, in fact, the longer she stays down there, the worse she does in terms of relationships with her colleagues.
Okay, so let's get to the most.
She's now running as an anti-Toscano candidate, by the way, that, like, wants to make major changes to the caucus while having been a David Toscano apologist for the last 3 years, which is part of the reason why she has absolutely zero credibility at this point.
Well, and she doesn't take risks. I mean, that's the thing about her. And I remember when she was running for lieutenant governor, I probably asked her 15 times that she was going to announce, and she was kept telling me, I'm meeting with people, I'm going around, and then didn't. So I just don't see that. I agree with you on
that. And you got to love, like, the announcement when she didn't run of – you know, she was staying because her House seat was so much more important than that, and she was so needed in the House of Delegates. That's why she didn't run for lieutenant governor. She was going to win.
And at the
just absurd.
At the time, they had a they were in a one-third. The Republicans had a two-third supermajority, and that's how important her seat was. So she couldn't get anything done. But that was kind of a nonsense. Now, the most ambitious person you've got here in the caucus is Rip Sullivan. I mean, he wants to be governor, president, chairman of the world, or something, go to the moon. He's very ambitious. Why not him?
Well, I mean, I think that you look at Rip Sullivan and, you know, there's just not much there. You know, I think everyone sees the ambition. But Rip is someone who has very little accomplishment, very little capability, but will promote himself to be, as you said, almost any position that comes available. Rip Sullivan thinks he should be mentioned for. I think, you know, you look at even his own district in Arlington this year. The Democrats took back the Republican-held seat on the Arlington County Board. Rip Sullivan, who was an early supporter of the Democratic candidate there, the Democrat got under 45% of the vote in Rip's district with Rip's endorsement as a Democrat in Arlington. Okay, like Rip couldn't even deliver his district in Arlington to another Democrat on the same ticket, and he wants to be the leader to go handle the politics for Democrats around the state. The guy could literally be primaried by a 25-year-old random female resident of Roslyn and probably would lose his own seat. He has absolutely no backing, no support, and is a phantom delegate. And the idea of him being the leader, you know, if you want your leader to get taken out in a primary, Rip Sullivan should be your leader.
Okay, so I don't think he's going to win either, but he's very ambitious. Let's get to my favorite candidate, who's also an FOJ. There's actually other Democrats that like me. Sam Russell is one of them. I love Sam Russell because he's kind of like a Southwest Ben Tribbett, right? Speaks his mind, doesn't mess around, challenges authority, challenges the caucus, and he got upset over something, I remember, and he just, like, quit the leadership team in protest. Sam's a really, really great guy. Can he win?
I don't know if Sam can win or not because of the freshmen are a big chunk of the votes, and we got to see how they break out. And obviously there's not a lot of votes from his region left because the Democratic Party doesn't really exist west of 29 anymore.
Right.
But I will say, you know, of what I've heard so far, you know, as these candidates call around, Sam's the only one who really has an idea that is the correct one of how the caucus should be run, which is he's calling other members and saying that, you know, he understands he's not going to be the best floor leader, that he's not the best person to lead the charge on all different issues, and he wants to have other members take the lead on being the voice of the caucus and have, you know, a leadership team that involves everyone. And I think that's smart. I think, you know, politicians that understand their own limitations, that can be a very positive thing when they can bring other people in the fold. You know, this is where, you know, take Sam Rasul versus Rip Sullivan. You know, Rip Sullivan wants to be the leader because he thinks he knows more than everyone else on every single issue. That if he's the leader, he can guide the party to, you know, all of Rip's eminent wisdom.
And I just want to jump in here. I think just the way Rip has rolled out this campaign for the leadership speaks a lot about how he would manage the caucus on the floor by telling members to call him back instead of actively campaigning for it like someone like Sam is.
Right. He sent out an email to all the caucus members and said, if you, you know, are interested in my campaign, I'll reach out to you at some point or you can call me. I mean, the arrogance that comes from this guy who couldn't even win an election in his home district if he was contested is just ridiculous.
So who's your candidate?
I don't have a candidate.
Well, so this is basically a clown show,
saying. I mean, we haven't even gotten to
bash. Five candidates. You
we
don't
got
like
two others. We got two others left to bash, don't we?
Who? Oh, well, Charnel.
Okay, so I think of the four establishment candidates, and by the way, this just goes to show how pathetic this group was, this Toscano group, because these were all like – these candidates are all from the same faction of the caucus.
Right.
And now they're all turning against each other.
The House – Virginia House caucus.
Right. And they were all people that tried to block any changes this summer.
Right.
And said how, you know, the caucus needed to keep David Toscano because they all wanted to block Jennifer Boyce because they wanted to be the leader. Now, you know, their intentions are sort of laid bare. Everyone can see how really pathetic they are. But these four are all from the same faction, okay? And Charnel is someone who, you know, won all three statewide races as state party chairman in 2013 and was kicked out as state party chair. That tells you, like, a lot about the type of work that she did and how the McAuliffe administration felt about what she did. And remember, she was state party chairman as Terry's running for governor. And what's the first thing Terry does when he comes into office is kick her out as party chairman. Okay. I mean, and bring in Susan Swecker. And so, you know, Charnel has to a lot of work to do on her own. Remember that, John, she was the delegate who holds the all-time record for the biggest underperformance in an election in Virginia history, I think. Her district had been carried by 74 points by Barack Obama in November of 2008. 3 months later, she came up in a special election and won by 17 votes, less than 1%, lost 73 points of Democratic performance in the one serious race she had. The idea that, again, she would be the political leader for the Democrats across the state going into an election, it's ridiculous. It's embarrassing that we're even having this discussion.
Sure, no, and it's just embarrassing.
And it just, you know, it tells you how weak this bench is. Look, what the reality is of what happened here is when the Democrats went to a third of seats, almost all the talent left. And so the type of people who would serve in a 2-to-1 legislature, there wasn't much talent left there.
Right.
There's a couple of exceptions to that, but for the most part, the talent left. And then now the talent that just came back in the freshman class, the freshmen don't feel like they're prepared to take the leadership. There's actually a lot more talent in the freshman class than there's in this establishment.
Yeah, well, Ann and I tell you what, Ann and I had dinner a week ago Sunday with Danica Rome, who came down on a Sunday night to have dinner with us because she lost the Trump bet, and so she paid up her debt. But she came and took us to dinner, and Danica Rome, who was the first transgender candidate ever to win and serve in the House of Delegates in Virginia, she is really smart. I mean, that lady, I mean, we were at dinner for 2 hours, and basically, I mean, we didn't talk about the national scene, but when you just talk about her district, the House, the makeup, what she's trying to do, what her vision is, you know, she used to be a reporter for a small newspaper, but what a smart lady she is. I mean, I could see somebody like her just emerging. because she's got innate leadership ability and all the things that you've mocked these people on, Danica has all the things that are missing. I'm not sure that she'd ever be a viable candidate right now. She's only a freshman, but that was I was spending 2-3 hours with her at a dinner with my wife. She's a very impressive woman.
I think there's a lot of the freshmen are more impressive than our longer-serving members with seniority. So, you know, what we
all right, how about Marcus Simon, last one of the clown show?
the end of the
biggest clown for the last.
Save the biggest clown for the last? Why do you say he's a clown, Chaz?
Well, it's interesting because he's in bed with someone like Alfonso Lopez, and we need to have a serious discussion about this.
What do you mean by in bed? Like
well, they're buddies.
They're buddies, so they're friends. Roomies. I've got friends, so.
Yeah.
So what?
No, there's no double entendre. It's just a phrase.
No, but I mean, just because he's friends with Alfonso, why does that make him a clown candidate?
Because your friends are your future. And I believe if you are palling around with the likes of someone of like Delicate Lopez, that says a lot about you. There, he has been isolated.
Why do you like Lopez?
I do not like Lopez.
Why?
I mean, the elephant in the room is that he's worked for ICE detention centers. And his excuse is, I've been trying to improve the conditions. Baloney. You can't claim the high road and then take the low road too. I mean, he's sold himself out for thousands of dollars and enacting programs that goes against his platform. If he has principles, where are they? Because obviously they're not at the forefront of his mind. I mean, I know it takes one thing to sign the front of a check, but to sign the back of a check, he sold out. And he needs to be primaried. And he needs to be called out for it everywhere he goes, every meeting, whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's at a caucus meeting, whether it's in Richmond or in his district or a town hall or wherever. He needs to be held accountable and he'd be held to the standard that elected officials ought to be.
Because of his client.
Yes.
And look, I think if this was a Republican, Marcus Simon would be all over it. And it just – this is why you can't be a leader, okay? Like,
right.
If you can't stand up to people in
so
your own
so
party,
our, the,
you can't
the
be a
leader. Out-of-state audience knows that we have because I've got listeners from all over the United mm-hmm. States. So Alfonso Lopez, Democrat, Northern Virginia, votes very liberal – but you guys don't like him because one of his clients is – explain it.
One of his clients is a proponent of the ICE detention centers where
– It was an ICE detention center.
It was? Okay.
It was directly.
I stand corrected. Where, you know, families have been separated, children have been separated from their parents, and so much traumatizing events have occurred. And he is supposedly this leader on being a fighter for immigrants, undocumented immigrants, for people of color, minorities – and I just don't understand the this reality distortion field he's put himself in is just baffling. And he's been – I've heard it from numerous sources, numerous people, that other delegates have turned their back on him, and rightfully so. And he has the audacity to even think about going for a leadership position.
Because he's a Democrat and one of his clients is
– You can't claim
–
you cannot
is
claim
– the ICE Center.
Is the ICE Center.
You cannot claim
but
to
he
be
says
one thing and do another because –
he's trying to make the ICE Center – more hospitable.
Yeah.
Better.
How do you do that? How do you make how do you make a prison better? How do you make a prison for kids better?
Why don't you check into it, John? Let us know how he's doing.
Seriously.
No, but I mean,
Alfonso Lopez, Delegate Lopez,
I mean,
when you get done with your
business,
brunch with your boss.
Can't you separate his clients from
listen,
positions?
No, I'm going to do this right now. Delegate Lopez, if you're listening and you get done eating quiche out of the can with your boss, come down here, explain yourself. What is the reason behind this and own up to it? If you're, he had a YouTube video talking about how, you know, civility is no longer in politics. Well, Delicate Lopez, here is your opportunity right now. Ben tweeted out the address. You know how to get here. You can call Ben, and now's your chance to salvage your reputation. Now's the chance to stave off a primary challenge. There's at least three people considering running against him and launching within the next 2 or 3 months. And it is serious. And they are out getting ready to raise money. All they got to do is just pull the trigger.
All right. Well, you don't like Marcus Simon because he's friends with Alfonso Lopez, and you don't like Alfonso Lopez. But this sounds petty. I mean,
it's
what
not
is,
petty. It's
what
a real
Simon,
issue.
What is Simon?
How can you govern? How can you govern?
I've got friends that are look. I'm sitting
that,
with
that do one
you
thing.
You guys aren't. I?
Yeah, of course. You have friends in the White House that take money from other people and do one
oh,
thing and
stop.
Do another. Right?
You know, you guys are ridiculous.
So like, it's just par for the course.
Why don't you like Simon because he's friends with Alfonso? I don't like you, Simon, because you're friends.
Radio AM AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. A U.S. government plane arrived in Houston to transport the body of former President George H.W. Bush to Washington for a state funeral. Bush spokesman Jim McGrath tweeted a photo of the presidential plane on a tarmac, and he wrote, Air Force One has arrived in Houston for what will technically be called Special Air Mission 41 tomorrow and Wednesday. The truce and the trade dispute between the U.S. and China should boost financial markets, at least likely through the year's end, experts say. The stock market's wild gyrations of recent months likely will persist, though, as the two countries strain for a permanent accord in the next 3 months. French President Emmanuel Macron has asked for an evaluation of possible protest security measures a day after a Paris demonstration evolved into France's worst urban riot in a decade. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at bakerglassinc.com. That's bakerglassinc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at bakerglassinc.com. That's bakerglassinc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Find a new home through Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build? Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty has multiple 3 to 4 bedroom homes available for rent in the Intercoastal area, many with community pools. A beautiful new 4 bedroom in Buccaneer Point, 4 bedroom with 3-car garage in Windsor Chase, 3 bedroom with 2nd floor bonus room in Johns Creek. Rent a 3,100 square foot gorgeous 4 bedroom in Old Mill Creek between Town Center and Tinseltown. For information on these and other rentals, call Robert McDonald at Home Finder Realty, 241-5501 or HFR Jack.
Hunting season's here, so let me ask you this. Are you really going to try to squeeze another year out of that wore-out ATV of yours? You need to get down to Jacksonville Power Sports, where you can compare 3 brands under one roof. Take advantage of the great deals on Kawasaki, Can-Am, or Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. Jacksonville Power Sports. They got knowledgeable salespeople, a well-stocked parts department, and a service department that fixes them right the first time. Jacksonville Power Sports. Your hunt starts here. Visit JacksonvillePowerSports.com. That's JacksonvillePowerSports.com.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, Double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Folks, John Fredericks here. If you're like me, you may be among the millions of Americans who feel uncertainty when it comes to their health care. We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people that work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you get to choose your doctor and your hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access your health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Start starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is the way health care should be, and it's been great for me and my family. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control of your health care cost. As a member since January 2015, Liberty HealthShare has been a godsend for our family. Together, we're changing health care for good. On the John Fitness Radio Network, we're live, Ben Tribbett World Headquarters at Not Larry Sabato. Ben Tribbett, a long time nationally recognized Democrat consultant. We're here talking offline. I've got VA political memes here. Chaz, another hopeless liberal. I'm just behind enemy lines. It's good to be here and get all of the Lib Dems that are in politics to tell me what their thinking is so we can figure out how to counteract it. That's why I come to these things, because I respect these guys. And they're trying to defeat Trump in 2020. That's their whole game plan. They want him out. They hate him. I'm with Trump 2020, but you got to meet with the enemy to figure out what their game plan is. That's why we come to these. But I only go to the people I respect. And Ben Tribbett is, I got to tell you, he's probably the best Democratic campaign consultant in America. If you're a Democrat out there, you want to run for office, and you want to win, just tweet him at Not Larry Sabato, because the guy wins races, right? I wish he was a Republican so he could win some of our races, because he doesn't do happy talk. And one of the best Republican consultants is Richard Krause down in Southwest Virginia, but he's tough to get these days. He ran our campaign when we crushed Cuccinelli at the 4th District Convention. Ben and Chaz, offline here, you guys are hanging your hat on Manafort. Like, somehow Manafort is somehow going to be the death knell for the Trump campaign in 2020. There's not a person in America other than Manafort's family that cares about Paul Manafort. Well, is that really what your campaign is now, Manafort?
First off, John, I just want to say I'm not your enemy. I'm your brother.
Jeez. With friends like you, Chaz, who needs enemies. But anyway, go ahead.
But I just want to say, you know, I think the polarization, a lot of it has to do with this mindset. And you know, I'm an American first, and then I'm a Democrat, and then I'm whatever else. I think, though, the concern is that we just want the best for each other, and we want the best government we can get. And I don't think we're getting that with President Trump. I don't think we're going to get that with the Republican Senate. And it's just frustrating because – These issues aren't being addressed, whether if it's with, you know, ICE detention centers, whether if it's with, you know, transparency or collusion, or with responsible government, or having the gravitas as a president should to deal with issues like the blatant slaughtering of a journalist in another country's embassy, and to blatantly deny knowing anything about it, and to have people in your administration claim just because they don't speak Arabic they
fake
don't want
news,
to deal with it.
Fake news.
No,
fake
not
news.
Fake news. Fake Very news. Real news. And fake Governor news. McCall even said news. He saw the video yesterday on your
well,
show.
He saw the video because...
Didn't he show you it?
Yes. Well, no, I didn't see the video, but I think he was there. I think he was actually there, but McCall. But look, that's fake news because the president has never denied anything. What he has said is that he has an America First policy agenda, which he sticks to, and that... that is going to override whatever happened with Mohammed bin Salman, King Salman, and Jamal Khashoggi. And he said the strategic relationship with KSA, which is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, is going to take precedence over whatever they did for the time being, because it's in the U.S. best interest right now, today. That's all the president said.
Because he's trying to preserve an arms deal with Saudi Arabia.
He's not, because he has a strategic relationship with the Saudis that he believes is in the best interest of the United States. He never denied that Mohammed bin Salman was involved in this. Anybody that follows this and understands the Middle East like I do, and I go there, and I'm a senior contributor for Al Jazeera Arabic, so I talk to these people every day. I'm on 6 days a week, 5 or 6 days a week. Nobody seriously believes that Mohammed bin Salman didn't have something to do with that. He either directed it, he ordered it, he knew about it. The CIA even has a tape President Erdogan in Turkey has a tape of Mohammed bin Salman saying Jamal Khashoggi needs to be silenced ASAP. Now, silence might not mean killing him, but I think it's a good thing, right?
But let's go back to square one about what WikiLeaks.
But he never denied it, so stop being a fake newser.
I'm not a fake newser, and the truth, as inconvenient as it may be, is not fake news. Secondly, let's go back to square one. Does President Trump have any responsibility whatsoever for what's going on in the country or the world today? Where does the buck stop with – and I'm not hanging my hat on Paul Manafort, but where does the buck stop with accountability from the Trump campaign?
Your 2020 campaign is based on Paul Manafort. I feel better today now that I've met with you guys and I see that your strategy on defeating Trump in 2020 is Paul Manafort, Julian Assange, and who's the other guy? Jerome Corsi. Not about jobs, not about the economy, not about all the fabulous things happening, not about 4% growth, not about not about wages going up, not even about the tax cut that hasn't even happened until April. You're banking your campaign in 2020 on Paul Manafort, Jerome Corsi, Roger Stone, and WikiLeaks? Wow. Great today.
No, the campaign's going to be on a platform of ideas. Like the platform of ideas, do we shoot tear gas at children at the border? Do we?
Oh, you guys are
I love that John managed in one breath to, the amount of crap that just came out with one, exhale there. You managed to go from America first to defending the president not taking action of the killing of an American permanent resident. Okay? You literally in the same breath just went from America first to
– He did take action.
Writing off
– He did take action. He sanctioned the 15 of the Saudis.
He sanctioned the 15 people that were the fake arrests to cover for the crown prince.
And
that is in contrast with what the CIA says of who's responsible.
He never denied what the CIA said. He said it's not conclusive. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But what Trump has done is Mohammed bin Salman is now sanctioned himself. He can't come to the United States. He can't be with anybody.
Trump
in Congress.
Stopped the CIA director from going to Congress yesterday, even though Congress wanted her to come there to testify about what happened because he didn't want the truth to be told in the committee.
Everybody knows what happened. Of course Mohammed bin Salman was involved in it. And all the president said is he has no conclusive proof.
Even crying Lindsey Graham came on the floor yesterday and said what he did was outrageous and then started voting against a number of things that Trump wanted on the floor yesterday along with 14 other Republicans because they were so outraged that Trump had blocked the CIA director from coming and answering questions about this.
Well, the one thing they did that was the absolute right thing to do is they voted, I think it was 67-33, which is just about two-thirds, to get out of all U.S. banking, all United States backing of the Saudi Emirates coalition in the Yemeni civil war, which has got to be one of the biggest horrific disasters that the United States has ever been involved in. Every time we get involved in these Middle Eastern conflicts, it's a disaster. 17 million people starving there. There's famine, children starving to death. It's a horrible situation. Why are we there? Military industrial complex, neocons, your friends, Chaz, in the Republican Party, Marco Rubio and all them. Military-industrial complex, feed the beast. That's why we're there. And Trump campaigned on getting out of these entanglements. The Senate did the right thing yesterday. All aid should get cut off. And I'll tell you the other thing. If we cut the aid off to the Saudis, guess what? They can't fly an airplane. They're grounded. There is no war. And so in that aspect, Congress did the right
thing. Sorry, John, you're wrong. Chaz is right. I think that
Paul Manafort, that's what you're hanging your hat on.
No, I think that what you're seeing happen is that this president is going, this Mueller report is going to be devastating for this president.
Devastating how? Trump made a speech on WikiLeaks. Oh, you know what? Hey, that $70,000 job you just got, and the raise you just got, and the tax cut you just got, and your kid moved out of the basement, and things are going fantastic. But Trump made a speech on WikiLeaks after he talked to Roger Stone on the plane at midnight. That's what you're hanging your head on? Good luck. Good luck with that strategy. I think it's great because you're going to get beat again. I mean, you guys are so pathetically blind to what is going on out there. And so your strategy is now Mueller. Mueller's been there for 18 months. He hasn't produced crap.
John, I think it's time for us to come clean. We asked you here today for a political intervention, not to host the show.
I am. I'm intervening here with the Democratic Roundtable. You guys have nothing.
Nothing. What?
You have nothing but Robert
Paul
Mueller,
Manafort
WikiLeaks.
In handcuffs to a steel table with Robert Mueller sitting across from him is nothing.
Nobody's voting for or against Trump.
Roger Stone running around with Alex Jones saying, I'm going to be indicted. And then you have Corsi on MSNBC yesterday trying to do preemptive damage control.
MSNBC,
because he got
MSNBC, now there's a reliable source right there.
Yeah, oh, just as reliable as Fox, right?
Fake news. I don't watch Fox either.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course not.
I don't watch any of that. Hey, if you want the real news, come to the John Fredericks Radio Network, because we get everybody and we have a great discussion.
Absolutely.
Like with Chaz of VA Political Memes.
And
Chaz has 700 followers. I feel
700,
bad for
him. Yeah. And
I got,
you know, right now we just got like a four-person follower bump, and that's the John Frederick bump right there for you, everyone.
Because I'm pleading your case.
Yes, and I'm so humbled. I'm forever indebted to you. But what's the new network? WJF.
WJFN.
WJFN. The Morning Zoo.
Richmond Gucci.
Fighting Joe.
Fighting Joe was on at 10 o'clock. Yeah. That's right. In 45 minutes, stay with WJFN, 100.5 FM, Richmond Goochland, and the Fighting Joe show. He'll be on, I think, is today Thursday?
Thursday, right? Yeah.
And then tomorrow we're off the air. WJFN is off the air all day Friday, 24 hours.
And then Susan Platt is on Saturday?
Yeah, we're off the air on Friday. We have to adjust the some things in there, so we have to go off. FCC rule, 24 hours. Then the Susan Platt show starts at 9 a.m.
Do you think Speaker Cox will still be Speaker next year?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think – how do you think the outlooks for the Virginia Senate are? Like Senator Reeves in the 17th, do you think he'll be able to hold a seat?
Yes, but I think Dick Sassel is going to be the majority leader. It's a matter of how many.
Is RPV going to have any factor in this whatsoever?
What is RPV?
That used to be the Republican Party. They used to win elections.
Oh, Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no Republican Party of Virginia. You mean the answering machine with the batteries and the beeper?
Yeah.
No, I think, well, if they don't charge the batteries, that's it. They're out.
I heard the Open Chain Center is going to be leased out. They're going to put it on Airbnb.
They would probably raise – if they did that, they would double their funding.
Be more reliable revenue than whatever they're doing right now.
Yes, there is no – look, if you're out there in Virginia –
Are you going to the events?
There is no Republican Party of Virginia. It doesn't exist. Now, the Democratic Party of Virginia is Terry McAuliffe's legacy, because they've got 8 full-time people now. They're adding 20. They'll have 28. The Republican Party of Virginia has 3. Two of them answer the answering machine.
I heard they're moving the Advance down to Norfolk at a Red Roof Inn with Scott Taylor emceeing.
No, they tried to get the Red Roof Inn, but they didn't have the money, so it's at a Motel 6.
Are you going to the Advance, John?
Well, first of all, the name doesn't make any sense. The advance
it's
to
actually
what?
A retreat.
You can't advance if you're stagnant.
It's not stagnant. They're going backwards. So first of all, I'm not going to go until they change the name to Republican Apocalypse. Now, if they did that, I'd go, right?
Yeah. How about Bob McDonald running for Scott Taylor's seat in 2020?
Do you think I'm in favor of it.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you think he can you know, shed off the controversy from what he's done, even though he's been exonerated? But do you think he'd be viable?
Yes.
Do you think he should do it?
Yes, and I think, look, Bob McDonald made a lot of mistakes, Chaz, no question about it. And he paid for those dearly. But
absolutely.
He did get exonerated by the Supreme Court. Doesn't mean that, you know, getting a no-doc check for $25,000 when you're governor, that's just not a good thing. He shouldn't have done that, no question. And so there's a lot of issues there. But there's there's something about a guy that's been through this, been exonerated, and now I believe in second chances. See, that's why I was in favor. I was the only Republican in favor of Terry McAuliffe's allowing 200,000 former felons in Virginia the right to vote, because I believe in second chances. I've had second chances. My family has had second chances, and I believe in that. So I think Bob McDonnell would be a great candidate in the second
district. Well, hang on. Breaking news.
What is it?
ABC News special report. Michael Cohen has secured a new plea deal with Robert Mueller and is expected to plead guilty for lying to Congress in collusion probe.
Good.
Still a big old nothing burger, though, right?
What's that have to do with us? I mean, these are just creepy people, right? I mean, at the beginning of the campaign, you had a lot of people there that were creepy. And I was part of the campaign. I'm not a creep.
Michael Cohen wasn't part of the campaign. Michael Cohen was
He was his lawyer. I mean, look, the guy was not a politician. But again, Michael Cohen, Paul Manafort,
Cohen
Rick Gates, all these people, Roger Stone.
Cohen is scheduled to appear in federal court, where he's expected to enter a guilty plea for misstatements to Congress about his contacts with Russians during the presidential campaign.
Well, then right? he's got to answer that. But it has nothing to do with Trump.
You don't know that. And at what point do you start putting your country first, John, to at least even look at this? You won't even ask the question. You're defending Trump. This is breaking. You know nothing.
There was no
you
Russian
know
collusion.
Nothing about it.
He does no
You
Russian
know
collusion.
Nothing about it. Okay?
You're in denial because
no, John,
we
you're
kicked
in
your
denial.
Butt in these states,
John,
and you guys thought that
John,
was going to be
it's breaking right now.
Denial.
You know nothing about whether there was collusion or not. You don't know what Michael Cohen did. And you know, you were a state chair for Trump, okay?
Yes.
You were not in the room. You don't know what happened. And you're not even open to hearing it, even though it's going to court today.
Because,
so instead of opining
people,
on it,
the people
instead
that were
of
there,
opining on it, you know nothing. Why don't you wait and see
that,
what the people
know
who know something
no,
about it?
There was no collusion in the Trump campaign. Because if you ask the people that were there, Steve Bannon, Kellyanne Conway, David Bossie, they ran the campaign. There was no collusion. Sean Spicer was there. Ryan Priebus was part of it. Nobody was talking to the Russian government to get WikiLeaks stuff or to put stuff on Facebook. It had nothing to do with the campaign whatsoever. And so, but look, this is all you've got, right? You can't talk about the economy. You can't talk about foreign policy. You can't talk about jobs. You can't talk about economic growth. You can talk about nothing except Robert Mueller, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and whatever else nonsense you all come up with.
Because those issues in regards of the transparency and inclusion aren't political issues. This is an America First issue, and this isn't a left or a right. This is a patriotic issue to that needs to be addressed. And honestly, John, deep in my heart, I hope there's nothing there. I really do. I hope this is just
Why was it not a patriotic issue for you guys when Hillary Clinton destroyed 25,000 emails? When Hillary Clinton had her staff go out with the iPhones and iPads with hammers and destroy?
Look, let me give you your due.
Why wasn't that a patriotic issue? You guys all defended that.
Let me give credit where it's due.
Duplicious.
Donald Trump was elected president. Hillary Clinton was not. You guys earned that. Now own it. Now, you have to own it because the devil's in the details, and now it's all starting to come out of the woodwork. And now it's time to ante up. And this issue isn't a left or right issue. It's an American issue, and it needs to be resolved. And I hope there's nothing there with Michael
and
Cohen.
It's so obvious what happened here. I mean, like, except
– So what do you think happened, Ben?
This all has to do with the proposed Trump Tower in Moscow. Okay? That's what Michael Cohen was charged to negotiate with them on. And the business dealings got tied up with the presidential campaign. And absolutely, Russia was assisting Trump as he was trying to negotiate the Trump Tower in Moscow, because that's how development happens in Russia. Like, there's quid pro quos. That's just how it works in Russia. Okay? And this is where, you know, a less greedy, more experienced politician than Donald Trump would have figured out, if I'm going to run for president, I got to sell off or completely get myself out of the middle of my business empire, because I have too many things going on here and there and there that, like, don't compute with running for president of the United States. And he tried to be greedy and do both at once. And he sent his personal lawyer to Moscow, Michael Cohen. And what we're going to find out today is probably that – and this is what I have believed all along – is that Michael Cohen was trying to negotiate out this Trump Tower in Moscow – simultaneously as the presidential campaign was going on, and that Donald Trump absolutely, as he is with all of his towers and investments, was integrally involved. And you give him credit as a businessman. Like, one of the reasons he's been successful is he is involved in his projects. Okay? It was not, he was not uninvolved from this one. And he was working with the Russians during the campaign in order to get Trump Tower. Probably, in my estimation, probably because he probably thought he wasn't going to win the election. All right? And that's my best, from what the information that's come forward so far, leads me to believe that absolutely they were involved with the Russians, and that that then led, because of the friendly dealings there, the Russians to be cooperative with him to say – and Hillary was very anti-Russian. And so they said, you know what, we prefer him. And that's when the official government program started to help try elect Donald Trump, where they started putting official mechanisms in place to try to hack into Democratic materials and help elect Donald Trump. And that's all. I believe that's going to be in the Mueller report.
So define in your mind, Ben, then define collusion, like define the implication in your mind that could seriously hurt the president himself. Define collusion. What would that look like?
I think collusion looks like, first of all, there's a few different things going on here. I don't think collusion is the president's biggest problem at this point. I think the obstruction of justice into finding out about the collusion is actually much more ironclad than the collusion itself. Because, you know, whenever you get into collusion claims, there's always going to be a he said, she said aspect to it. Trump is always going to deny he doesn't use email. He's always going to deny he's not in the meetings. You know, he just put out these answers to Mueller last week, all written in legal terms, to the best of my recollection. Remember Donald Trump told us a few months ago he has the greatest memory the world has ever seen? And he's answering questions to the special prosecutor that start out to the best of my recollection. What happened to the greatest memory the world has ever seen?
You're being obtuse here. Define what collusion is. I got a minute and a half. Define it. What does it look like? In Ben Tribbett's mind.
Collusion looks like, first of all, collusion is not the center point of this investigation, but collusion with the Russian government is having a business interest with them, which he has denied and was a lie, but having that business interest then lead to you working with official government channels to take on official government acts to benefit your candidacy. That is collusion.
Well, that's exciting. Well, okay. That's wow. What a riveting definition of collusion. You know, I'm not going to get a wink of sleep tonight after I just heard that, Ben. I'm going to play it over and over and over because because it's like I was trying to. I'm a businessman and I'm trying to get a tower built in Moscow, and I sent my lawyer there, and therefore I colluded with the Russians to do what? I mean, on one breath you say he didn't think he was going to win, so if he didn't think he was going to win, then there is a collusion. On the other hand, it's like
– the founders of our country actually had put in the Constitution the Enrollments Clause for exactly this reason, that a president of the United States should not be having anything that personally, financially benefits him that involves a foreign country. Okay? It's in the Constitution.
So now you're running on the – on the annulments clause. This is – I've been here – look, I've been here for 3.5 hours. What do you Democrats tell me? How are you going to beat us in 2020 other than conspiracy theories, Roger Stone, Julian Assange, and everything else? What are you going to run on? I got to go. When we get back, I want you guys – I'm going to give you a 7-minute break to get your act together. Tell me what you're going to run on other than Julian Assange. John Fredericks, Radio Network. These people are unbelievable. We're going to win again. I'm so excited. Best decision a company I've ever made. Besides, Ben Tribbett's a great guy. If you're a Democrat, at Not Larry Sabato, hire this guy. But actually, don't hire him because then you win, and I don't want Democrats to win.